This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, Wednesday, February 7th, 2007.
Well, kind of the between seeing eye dogs, and she has a puppy in there right now. So and people who never talked to Connie ever come in her office. Hey Connie, how are you? It's great to see you. So if you guys happen to be down there, she's the cutest, unbelievable, great, and sort of yellow lab looking puppy.
So
did
she get an
acceptance
of a policy?
I wouldn't like to go staff issue.
Puppies can make people so stupid. And that's the way to get a date though, Joan.
Oh yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I agree. We have a German Shepherd.
We've already had this discussion. There's two sides that are going to war.
We had one of the heaters on it for the boat.
Really, both eyes?
So you lead him around?
Well, he's
only
one size.
This is rough for him today, you know. I really like it.
All right, Lisa gave me the word that Mary would be right up, so let's get started. What we wanted to talk with you about today is the campus course connection, since it's going to be the issue of the moment. Troy, I'm going to put you on the spot because at our last meeting, the EA decided to draft a resolution about the campus course conduct. And I'm going to, because Troy's our representative with CJC, so I'm going to ask her to kind of fill you in on what we're thinking about as staff members. And
you guys haven't sent it yet.
I was thinking about Monday maybe having something that I'd like to go over it with you guys first, and Ari, of course, has offered to help me out.
So you can just sort of listen to everything.
Yeah, I'd love to. And there's plenty of time. So I've been trying to watch therapy, but I haven't seen that from the staff, so that's good.
And there, just to kind of help everybody, because not everybody's been able to attend the events, but there have been a couple. Mary has spoken at one, and I went to the one on Monday. There have been some really good discussions. I'm not sure how much the staff focus has been emphasized, but with our resolution, that we'll have to get that out there.
We have a lead article on the Folkview Forum coming up in tomorrow's conference to take the staff annual.
Very good. We discussed that in our sense of being fun, but it's just true that you were on that.
And Tori is prominently quoted.
You sound very smart. Tori, go ahead. Well, our last meeting that the CJC had, we had Mary Altman at it, so we got to hear some of her concerns with staff issues, and I think she hit right on what some of the main concerns for staff are. We need to keep in mind that it's only about 2% of JAs are with staff, so maybe that's maybe two or three staff members a year at most. So some of the issues she had was that it's going to be taking the off-campus jurisdiction. So that was kind of a little bit of an issue there. Another issue that she had, and I think is pretty big, is consistency between the three different groups. So you have the staff who report to their supervisors, you'd have the faculty who report to their deans, and you'd have the students who report to the dean, or the dean of students. So in that, are the staff rights going to be as protected as faculty rights if they have a complaint to bring up against the faculty? So I think if there was some kind of consistency between the three groups, I think there might, you know, it might be a good thing to do, but there needs to be some kind of stats instead of just if there's some kind of fault brought to a staff member, there needs to be some kind of stats where someone can judge where it should go, not just different groups judging the outcome of someone's fate. So I think that's one of my big concerns.
Is it right, Tori, the statement that you guys would send me would cover this, including specific details and just sort of restate what you said. That's what the statement would be.
I hope so. Yeah. I was hoping to get more input than just I would think. So that's kind of why I've been holding off and hoping that people would read and get more in depth with it so we can make a really good resolution. And I was just saying, we met at the CJC and you hit on some very good points that I had written down in notes. And I thought, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So, Mary, can we ask you to kind of do that for us again? I don't know what
we're at that meeting. Well, they really are sort of simple points. So, the one is that if there's the concern is that if everything goes through the regular employment based process, then the normal employment based process would go through a supervisor. And not every issue that currently is at a JA would necessarily be appropriate for the supervisor-supervisee relationship. So now you've involved the supervisor on something and that makes it work-related, and so I've heard some concerns about that. The off-campus coverage was the issue that I was the most concerned about, because if the campus code does extend past the university, then for our staff anyway, I mean, we really don't consider their behaviors off the campus, you know, unless they are work-related behaviors, you know, if they're, you know, in a financial job and they rob a bank, you know, we consider that job-related. But there's a lot of things that happen outside of, you know, the office, or, you know, the office setting that we don't know about and probably would prefer not to.
But my understanding, it's just to repeat something you already said, Mary's here, but that's because employment-related matters are not covered in the discussion that's occurring, that this is a very unusual thing for staff to be adjudicated in this procedure. Is that right?
That's right.
I understand what proportion of the campus code of conduct things apply to staff. You just told us a few minutes ago. What about cutting it the other way, Mary? What of all issues that involve potential sanction against a non-faculty employee, what proportion, looking at that, what proportion fall under this as opposed to the normal employment related? Is it also very rare?
I'm not sure I understood that.
In other words, the let's say they have 100 actions a year under this campus code of conduct. My understanding is that only a couple of them statistically would be staff issues. Now I'm asking, of all the staff issues that come up in a year that requires some sort of adjudication, a formal procedure, what proportion of those fall under this? I want to know how many staff actions there are in here.
Oh, there are hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds. So either way you look at it, I mean, this is a rare thing to affect.
Very rare.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, this is probably a question, I'm still in the first year, so I can ask different questions. Should the staff be involved in this at all? Is there a need for this to involve the staff?
So the third issue that we talked about was last the staff member as the wrongdoer, and more the fact that the code gives staff a place to take concerns about behaviors towards them.
So you think it is for to maintain, even though it's a rare occurrence?
Right. Well, and the proposed new code does that. It's just that if you want to advance that issue, you go to different places,
right.
Then now you go through the JA. So the revised code still permits you to move forward on it and grieve a violation of that code. The question that we would have to work out is, I'm less concerned about if you have an issue with the way a student has treated you, but if you have an issue with the way a faculty member has treated you, then how would the processes for the faculty be translated into a review that would be meaningful to a staff member who feels that the code was violated, their, you know, rights under the code were violated? So those were the three issues that either I had heard or that we had talked about that we talked about. Just clarification that if we change to this decentralized, I guess, version, keeping an overarching code, how do we ensure that staff have appropriate vehicles, if it's staff to staff, if it's staff to faculty, and if it's staff to students?
Okay.
Can I speak for the independence of the JA?
Sure.
I really like that. Just dealing from our angle, And granted, we have very seldom had any problems with backing staff, but we do have to abide by certain state regulations and so forth. And just take it for example, evacuation drills, which we have to do. Now, not everybody in the faculty and staff think we should. And we've had some downright headbanging with some faculty members and said, you're not going to do a drill in my building. And we say, oh, yes, we are. And I'm leery of a system that doesn't have independence as to enforcing that. Mm-hmm. If we have a case where we have to refer someone to the JA, we know that that person is independent and we'll look it over. Whereas if we have a faculty or staff member and they're going to go to maybe their good buddy or somebody, or somebody has to share the same attitude that we shouldn't have drills, I don't see where it's going to be handled the same way.
Or did you hear any other discussions about that? I know in a meeting I was at on Monday, we talked about that, quite a bit.
I just started, so I haven't heard it. Already, I know it's been to all the meetings for the CJC, right?
Just that.
Yeah. Have you heard anything?
About independence of the.
Yeah, I mean, just the pros and cons and just what the overall discussion has been about that.
The most substantive discussion and comments about that are actually on the CJC website, on the press report comments section. I think that's very representative of the discussion that's happened in the committee. They really haven't taken a position on it, although most, I'd say the overwhelming feedback has been in favor of the independent
mm-hmm.
JA.
Can I add a little bit to that? I think the case for having the JA not independent would be then to put it under the umbrella of the Dean of Students realm, with the idea that so many of the violations are made by the students, and with that, the desire to be a little bit more developmental and educational with the students as opposed to punitive in terms of which the current system is sometimes perceived that way. So that's kind of how that whole discussion revolves.
Well, and there's, you know, this doesn't really involve the staff. I'll tell you my view of this has to do with the fact that the hearings are held outside the OHR door, so you learn a lot at night when you're the only person that can let people in the bathroom. There isn't necessarily a satisfaction by people, by victims, that their pain has necessarily been addressed after those hearings. There was a really bad thing that happened here, and I just happened to be there while a young woman who had been in a bad situation had to deal with about a family who wasn't here or supported. She's a very shy girl, didn't really have very many friends, and the individuals that were being charged were very popular students. And there were, she was all alone, and the people that were being charged all had lawyers, and all of these young men's friends were lining the hall, seated, lining the hall between her and the bathroom, where she ended up actually sick in the bathroom from being so afraid of this experience. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not really the right person to give voice to this, but it is the case that it has a lot of protections in it because it carries a sort of a legal standard. But I would think that everyone involved in looking at this should try to understand how victims have felt when they've had to go through this. And, you know, for any of you who have been a victim of a crime or a behavior, if the process of deciding the punishment feels as bad as what you went through before, you're not likely to come forward again. So I would just say that there are, I think, things wrong with the way it works now. They don't really touch the staff very much. At least I haven't seen it that way, because the things that are most important to staff are handled through the employment. But I just I mean, I don't feel like I should be the voice for that, but I would encourage that before we just, I've heard too many people say, well, there's nothing broken, there's nothing wrong with the way it is now. And when it's a victim who isn't being treated fairly, it's a hard voice to hear. So I would just encourage those of you who are looking at this to look beyond the rhetoric. I think there are things broken, and I think the people who are may feel the least supported are the ones least likely to say anything.
Yeah, can I add something about that?
Sure.
You know, I might paraphrase that or put it a little more broadly. I'm coming into this not knowing much about what went before, knowing a lot about how other judicial systems work that affect students, but a lot of the conversation has been about the Krauss report as opposed to whether there might be some way to just make the thing better, whether or not it has anything to do with the Krauss report. And one thing I've been heartened by seeing the website, and also I'm getting a lot of direct mail, which is just what I want, a lot of direct email, is that I'm starting to feel that, tell me if you think this is accurate, that people are starting to look at the overall issue, some of the kind of stuff that Mary's talking about, even if not that very thing, as opposed to just sort of an up or down decision on whether we should either do the Krauss report or leave it just like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see more nuanced conversations about just in general how should the thing be run. Is that, you think that's right? As far as you can tell?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Or do you think so? Yeah. Almost all the conversations go about the Krauss report per se?
A lot of the feedback that we've been receiving is about overall the Krauss report, and a lot of it has seen it as sort of a philosophical shift,
yes.
I would say, because I think one of the things that I was asked to do by the CJC was to look at some other universities on some of the key issues, and it seems that Cornell's overall philosophical approach with this idea that everyone is covered by code and everything that sort of branches from that is very different from from the proposal. So I would say that a lot of people see them, they do see nuances, but they also see a connection between those nuances and sort of a compatibility between them.
So I missed your observation about the other places. So do you think you look a lot different than other places?
Yes.
Okay.
I think most of the universities that I was asked to look at, like 11, ranging from Binghamton University, so other SUNY schools, other Ivies, other land grant schools. The campus code is generally a student-specific code. There's also some documents on the CJC site. You have to dig a little bit to find them, including the original rules for maintenance of public order that were passed in 1969 by the Board of Trustees, in that context, that provided some clarity, as well as the original report from a committee that was convened at the time that, among other things, addresses the independence of the JA issue and why they chose that direction. I thought that was very interesting material.
Your comments are really helpful, because at first when the report, when I first circulated the call, everything I got was about the Krauss report. There was nothing else about the issues in general, who should cover it, or anything that needs to be done. And now I'm getting a whole lot. I actually haven't heard anything about the Krauss report in about a day and a half, and a lot of emails, so it's more about specific issues. Well, I will look forward, you know, with great anticipation to whatever you say. And Mary will affirm that we're talking about this quite a bit among the VPs of the so-called senior staff meeting. And that's a funny name, senior staff. I think there are other names for it, but I haven't tried them out in a game. So anyway, so
expanded staff.
Please hold your questions. Because I take this meeting very seriously and the UFC meeting seriously and the student elected leaders seriously, when you send it to me, I'll share it immediately. Of course, the CJC should get it. I'm assuming you'll send it to them, same thing you sent it to me. At least I would ask you to. But I'll also share it with the senior staff immediately, the next meeting after we have it, so they can get some idea of it. So this is very, very helpful. And you would think within a couple, 3 weeks, something like that.
Oh, definitely by then, because they are hoping to have a letter to the UA, I think, in a couple of weeks.
March 7th.
March 7th.
Okay, fantastic. That would be great. Thank you in advance. That's good. I'm going to leave in a second. She's pushing me to get out of here.
No, I was just
looking
to see what
we're doing.
That's how we really wanted to come. Do you have anything for us?
Just one thing. I was out of Sunday Geneva on Monday.
Yes.
And Pat was there. It was really great. I was aware that community of faculty and staff employees is part of the Ithaca mothership, so to speak. And so are covered by our policies and procedures. I didn't realize, honestly, because I've seen you mainly on campus, all totally on campus here, that you were largely there and so on. So I was heartened to see that that's part of it. And what I was going to say is that I'm going to develop some schedule. It's going to be much, much less frequent, of course. I think once in a while you and I should go out there together. And we had a good discussion, I thought. And I want to share with you what that discussion was, if I'm not stealing your thunder. Okay. So we talked about representation. I made him aware of the meetings that we're having, both this meeting and the larger meeting that we had last week. I asked about their issues. They talked about the relative lack of services, not by Cornell, but just community services available. Just being a smaller town, even a smaller town. they brought up things related to recreation. We talked a little bit about child care and generalities. That was helpful for me to know about. I thought that those folks understand and feel connected to the EA in general because of that and whoever else had been doing it in the past. So that was good. And I also got the feeling that central administrators, senior staff group, don't commonly interact with them unless there's a problem. So, and they were well aware of the stuff that you're doing, your office does, Mary, in a very positive way. And they knew not only that this group existed, but they knew who was on the group, and they knew that your leadership and so on. So I was really, I was pumped up after talking to them. I did end thinking that somehow we as a university should maybe interact with the town of Geneva and so on, just to talk about our employees. I know it's not as outlandish an imbalance of employer size there as it is here, because it's a relatively small campus, but I still think that's a problem and could have an effect. So I was going to ask Mary if we could maybe working with Steve Johnson, although that setup is oriented for community relations here in Tompkins County area. I don't think we have a similar office that deals with community relations in Geneva. So if I could get whatever input, of course from you, Mary, but anything, Pat, that even if I'm not here to talk about it, that you guys might eventually, I don't think there's any four-alarm fire or big rush, at least that I could tell, but I think it would be great for us to weigh in on their issues in terms of town-down things, just the same as we would here in Ithaca or in New York City. And then the only other thing is that I was really impressed with the kind of stuff going on there. And I think the staff participation and the part that the staff plays in the actual nitty-gritty of the substantive work is enormous there, enormous. I also toured there, the research park that we are part of. It's a fascinating setup because the university doesn't run it. The city doesn't run it, the state doesn't run it, the local private sector community, everybody has a vote on a board, and it's run by some sort of very interesting communal system that, I haven't seen since the 60s kind of thing, although it didn't look like 60s people who are running it, but then again, I don't either anymore. So it was really great. I think the staff input is enormously important there. I think the one single thing that we could do for that group of people is just think about anything that we might want to weigh in on the local community. Or not, but at least, hear what they have to say. So
talk with Mark at the president of the name of the college there.
Hobart, Gary. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Actually, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
But their human resources director and I actually were have interfaced over the last several months. The Geneva Area Chamber of Commerce has been going through some HR issues. So I've been very fortunate to work with their HR person and bring that Hobart and William Smith a little bit closer to Cornell in Geneva, which is important. That's something we've been trying to do and continue to do. So we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're
in terms of shared services, though, I know Mark actually was us at the President's House a few years ago about dual career, very open for collaboration.
Yeah, so I was just about to take my advice from you guys, what you think. Then the last thing I was just going to mention, just an informational item, is we're going to have a once in a while, and started on March, I think it's 5th, sometime that week, a calling radio show that I'm going to do with Peggy Williams, the president of the college, and Carl Haynes, the president of PC3. So we used to do it once a month in Iowa, that just people could call in with their issues about the higher education community. Not necessarily because they have kids in the system, but it affects so many people, especially in the town this size. So we're going to try this and see if anybody calls in. When I have the jazz show, I used to do that, where I have, like, name that tune. If you play it, you'd be waiting for the phone to ring, thinking, like, what if there isn't a single human being? So we're going to try it and see. Even though the show is oriented to have people who do not work for Cornell call in and talk about issues, the staff and faculty and students of Cornell, of course, are welcome to call in. So whenever I'm talking to these governance groups now, I'm letting them know about it. I can't remember the date, sometime that first week. And they have WEOS, the Geneva station, is going to carry it, and they're going to offer it to other NPR stations. Mm-hmm. So I can just imagine. Yeah. You could have sports information, country music, rap, whatever, or a call-in show with three stiffs from higher education. It's going to be hugely popular. So anyway, something like that. No, the reason I didn't, is that I'm still confused on the date. But I'll tell why. Even on March 7th or 8th, that helps you, right? we're going to initiate a new tradition. I've asked the provost once a year to give us a state of the academic university talk. Hope it'll become an annual tradition. And the first one's going to be either March 7th or 8th. What you got to do is just block your calendar totally for those 2 days. So wait until my office and I can get it figured out. And I think it's the 7th at 4:30. And we struggled with the time, understanding that the later it is, the less chance there are that some staff are going to be able to come. But I hope some people will come. We put everybody on the cusp like that. We'll have a reception afterwards. We're going to have it in the fall auditorium. And I'm sorry I don't know the date. I thought I did this morning when I got out. Yeah, me too. But now I heard it was the 8th.
Oh.
But then somebody else told me, no, it was the 7th. So, anyway, you'll hear about it soon. What do you think? Do you think I'm in control of that?
That's not your calendar.
Yeah. So sometime that week, there's going to be a radio show, and sometime that week, there's going to be a big talk. So.
Do you have a name for the radio show?
Tommy does. Something in the round, but I forgot exactly what it is.
Catchy.
I think people are calling. The question will just be getting word out to the community and letting them know. I think a lot of them will call in to talk to Carl Haynes, because the community college has huge effects on people's lives. But we'll be there to get Carl coffee or whatever he needs while he's working. That's all I have.
If you have a little time, would you tell us about your trip to India?
Sure, I'd love to. So we're going to try not to eat up your whole meal. So this is my first time in India, and I've been struggling, as Mariel affirmed, with how much I should be off campus during international travel, and I don't think it should be too much. So I picked a break to go on this trip, which made everybody really happy because they weren't home for many years or anything with their families. I was a very popular guy, but we did want to place it closed down, basically. And so we went from one on the 28th of December and came back on the 8th of January. I've been in Asia a couple dozen times, but never to India. And we've got 60 years of history from Cornell with India, 60 years, largely in agriculture, largely in cows, but some other places too. And so one thing is that one purpose of the trip was to make that more visible to people in India. And also hear people, at least I've been amazed how many people didn't know. time history, decades and decades. The second purpose of the trip was to rejuvenate the alumni affairs that we have with India. We have 600-700 alumni whose locations we know, so that means there's more there probably. And we have right now about 400 Indian students on campus. And last year alone, the number of applications from students in India to come here went up 42% in one year. Not all of them got accepted. Not all the ones who were accepted came here. But anyway, the interest is big time among a lot of places. One of them is in India. So the second thing is to make it more visible. Third thing was to this concept of land grant university to the world, where we're helping not only New York State based on a formal mission, formal statutory mission, but also developing countries and other areas. I one of the things that attracted me here, and I think we could do even more in a more focused way. So I was looking for ways to find out from colleagues in India what we can be doing better. And then finally, we have 9 memos of understanding with institutions of higher education in India currently. And I just wanted to see sort of how some of that was going and whether other opportunities. Because of the long history that Cornell has there, and because of 2 of our trustees are very, very prominent business people in India, Narayana Murthy and Ratan Tata, we got the most outrageous access to people you just can't imagine. We had 1.5 hours with the Prime Minister of India, 1.5 hours. We had a 30-minute with the President of India. With the President, it's that kind of parliamentary system where the President's the head of state, like the Queen of England, sort of, although they have different duties there, and the Prime Minister is the head of government. But we got between the 2 of them 2 hours just with us, and a couple of other high-level people. We visited universities, we visited businesses, we visited governmental agencies that have worked with us, and I left with just a couple of conclusions. One was that there are unbelievable opportunities for us to continue to work there. My philosophy when I go overseas is not to sign memos on behalf of the university unless some unit wants me to. Like if Arts and Science said, we want you to sign an umbrella agreement for something in some country, I would do it. But that I shouldn't sign something and come back and say, well, here it is, you know, overnight, here's your new work. And, so I didn't sign anything. It was other than scattered data and reported it to the VPs and the deans, just yesterday the deans. But the opportunities are immense because of Cornell's name and because of common problems that countries have. I'll just give you one single example. You might have read in the last week that the latest statistics are that 1 in 8 New Yorkers has diabetes. It's unbelievable. It's like an epidemic. And they have the same kind of epidemic in India, even though the culture is so different and everything, have a huge epidemic of diabetes. So there's one thing where, you know, people here and people there could get together and work on some common problem. The second conclusion I had was that of all the international things that we could do, and there's many important ones, and you know I'm very interested in Africa, and also we'll be getting a delegation to China this year, that in India, just the presence of these 2 trustees means that if there's something that people really wanted to do here, staff or faculty, really wanted to get them in India, we have terrific guidance from these 2 people. Murthy started the company Infosys, which is an outsourcing company in information tech. It's the biggest one of its kind. There are over 66,000 employees now, and it's growing at a wild pace. And he had us on the campus, and so and then Ratan Tata, the head of this family set of businesses, that I don't know of any other family as related to the development of the country as that family has been to the development of India. There are 96 different corporate entities that are all under the same umbrella. And just last week, they acquired a big steel company in Britain and became the 5th biggest steel company in the world. That's just one of those 96 things. And you cannot imagine how he's a Cornell alum, so architecture alum in the 50s or 60s, 62 maybe. And you can't imagine how he just wanted to put himself at our service. Just, I don't mean just in terms of hospitality and ceremony, but just, you know, how can I guide you? You know, what is it that you could do to be helpful and so on. And so it was a very moving, sort of life-changing trip for me to go on this. And so I came back, told the VPs about it, told the deans and the provost, and and they're going to field another group to go to India and decide, you know, in specific what kind of things could happen. As in everything else that I'm always quick to point out, the staff interaction there is massive, and it's behind the scenes, like a lot of staff work is behind the scenes. If you had to name one single person on the faculty side who's done a lot and could be a great source to talk about, this would be Ronnie Kaufman, who's the head of international programs at Cal's, and he was there overlapping with us, so we were together on most of the trip. He's been going there since 71, goes there 3-4 times a year, and we went to places where the people just threw their arms around him, and they see him and they think about all the great stuff that he's done in partnership, and they think Cornell, and they think United States. You know, it's a great kind of intercultural bridge, like diplomacy in a way that's done. So it was a really great trip, and we'll see what people actually want to do. It was just a fantastic experience. They have, I'll just give you two quick statistics that were eye-openers for me. They're turning out, a huge number of engineers and scientists, as I'm sure you know about. And yet nearly half the population is completely illiterate. It's the disparities in culture and health and wealth and everything is just mind-blowing. And they also have a middle class almost as big as our entire population in the U.S., approaching the size of our population, but they have hundreds of millions of people living on less than $3 a day in just abject poverty. We saw it too. We went out in some rural areas. So those disparities, we have tons of disparities in this country. Right here within a half hour of this campus is a school district with a 55% free and reduced lunch rate program, just as bad as any inner city area you can think about. But to see it, to go down a 5 or 6 lane road there and see some limo, maybe you've ever heard of it before, that maybe is a $100,000, $200,000 vehicle next to a human being pulling an ox cart. Mm-hmm. Seeing the disparities is, even though I've traveled a lot in Asia, there was something quite like that side by side. So, you come back also kind of blessings in general, how easy we have it here. And the last thing I would say is that the student perspective on this is fascinating. We have 3,000 international students here among the 20,500 total students. It's a big ratio, and we're very popular as an international destination. And yet, I still think the other direction, our students, encouraging them to go out and learn about another culture, especially cultures that are non-English-speaking cultures, is still an uphill battle. It's still, most people can't do it. Can't afford the time, whatever. There's all kinds of reasons. I never did it when I was in school. I never traveled anywhere until, I was almost middle age. It's an amazing experience. Even as much as I traveled, it was really wild. The other interesting thing was we had, we had the Chronicle of Higher Education, not our Chronicle, but the Chronicle of Higher Education, sent somebody to go along with us. And so we had unrehearsed this guy just came along with us. Mm-hmm. He's the assistant managing editor. So I was interviewing, my last interview with him was today, sort of hair-raising, because they're going to have some big article about American universities going overseas. And we decided ahead of time to just let this happen. And we went to place after place where they said, it's great to see you here, it's wonderful, but is anything going to happen after this trip, or is there anything to follow up, or is it just one of these things where we get to serve you dinner and then at the end of it? And I thought that was a sign of great friendship and trust, that they would be straightforward and say that, And the whole thing is during this guy was just writing it down. So he asked me today, he said, so what do you think? Think we're doing a bad job? Just promising everything, delivering nothing, What do you think? So you'll see what I said when it comes out. But anyway, it was fascinating. Thanks for asking.
Great. Does anybody have questions?
Okay. Thanks for having me. I'll tell you again how much I value these meetings. They really mean a lot to me. And someday when we come across some tough issue, it'll be good that we know each other and can talk about it. I look forward to getting your feedback.
When is your bestseller, The India Diet, coming out?
I did get sick. Over. I'm convinced I got sick from something that they put on the plane in Newark, because I got sick right away when I got there. So it's not stop in Newark to Delhi. Nothing against any friends or family years that might have been to live in Newark, but I lost 9 pounds in a week I was over there. So the people are thinking I should write up instead of the South Beach diet, the South Asian diet, but actually it's a Newark thing. So I'm not sure if actually that would like be a catchy title. Newark weight loss plan. Anyway, I'm trying to lose 20 pounds, so I got to get there by the trip. See you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and roast Geneva apples and run.
A lot of work in progress. I hope that you found our session with Jim Sheridan helpful, those of you who could make it. I haven't gotten his notes back yet from our meeting, but I found it really valuable to revisit our goals and just to kind of focus again on what we thought we wanted to do and what was still important and what wasn't. And I hope you guys thought that was helpful too.
I thought so too, Donna. And yeah. I think it might be an interesting thing to do. That once we get the notes back and take those short-term goals and bring them with us to the meeting so that we can put them on the wall so we can sort of start incorporating them into our thought and then our plan.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. For those who didn't make it, we took our goals that we established back in August and we kind of categorized them to short-term, long-range goals and then just goals in general. It wasn't really time-specific, and Jim helped us do that, and it will help them. That's good exercise.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, when they come in?
Yeah, I'm expecting them any time from them. Well, that's all I have. Michael's not here today to give a trustee report, but we had, there were meetings the end of January. Have we met since then? So there were, Michael's on buildings and properties, and they approved the site for the daycare center. That was one of the things that they did.
Good deal.
And you'll remember Mary saying that it's kind of on the edge of Alos, Pleasant Grove Road. So that was approved. And she mentioned Cecil here. She did a very good job of particular, he's a pesky trustee, we can say that, who kept grilling her on things. And she really stood her ground and made sure that he knew that we did our homework at Cornell, so I'm very proud of her. But also in that presentation was the idea that another daycare center was already being considered. So the trustees heard that. So just wanted to let you know that. And that's the only, well, I went to the board meeting on Friday, and that was actually really good. They had students give presentations about some of the research that they're doing at the medical college, and that's traditionally they do that in January. And then they have the dedication of the new ambulatory care building, which was a beautiful building. What's going on there? But really nothing, not having a big thing to report for me there. So, yeah, those were the only meetings I went to. So, this my stand-in trustee report. Well, let's go to committee reports, SRAC.
We are in the process of revising and revitalizing the selection process with George Peter Award. We'll be meeting again next week to work on it. Peggy and Amy are working on it, and we're moving forward. We're having good input, trying to make it a little more user-friendly, user-simple.
So is it the form that people submit? Is that what you're
That's part of it. Part of it is the just what information we're looking for, and what form they give it to us. We're just trying to get it so it's use more and easier to work with.
So are people still like writing a letter on behalf of a candidate? Is that what you're trying to get?
We're still working on that, and again, trying to get the information we want a little more defined and a little easier for them to present to us. And we're also, one of the key things we've decided upon is that we will have someone on the committee be sort of like a mentor. So once the nominator makes contact, we will follow up with them.
Oh, that's
try
a great
to
idea.
Lead them through so they have helped in getting this material.
I have a question. I know we had talked about this a while back with the GPAD. Are we still not or considering getting HR involved in that process? I know that it has been requested that if there is going to be a selection made, that the HR rep in that area would be notified.
The only HR discussion we had was when we were talking about the supervisory authority. Mm-hmm. We were going to have HR partner on that one, but that hasn't gotten further.
Well, what do people think about that? Do we mm-hmm. know?
Well, and the reason that I bring this up, and I'm pretty sure it was the GPAD, because someone was given a GPAD award in the recent past, and I had actually heard from an HR person saying that individual, they wished that the award committee had spoken with them before giving that award. Whether it was not supported by HR, I don't know. Mm. But I think that the concept or the theory was that at least HR would have some knowledge of what's happening. Yeah. You know, if there is going to be a special
put
award.
That in the discussion.
Wouldn't HR be bound by some confidentiality? Because it is an employee situation and the things that, yes, they know about, but maybe not the general co-workers know about and should not come in.
And I'm not sure if the purpose of them being involved is to give bad information or give some information that could be detrimental to the awardee. I think it's just more being involved in that process to have an understanding of if the award is going to be given to this individual. I think they just want to know about that. And it
but if you get a reference from somebody from HR, the only thing they're allowed to say is whether they would hire or rehire or not.
That's not true. That is not true at all.
I'm in the wrong state.
There is no constraint for giving a reference.
Really?
I can attest to that, being an HR professional, yeah. You could say who you want.
Yes, that's the end of the story.
I do remember Pat bringing this up about a year ago or so, and I think it had additional weight in that Mary Opperman, the VP for Human Resources, appears at each one of these ceremonies, and it puts Mary in a awkward position if the individual who's receiving the award is not somebody who she feels probably fully qualified as the highest example of the criteria that the George Peter Award.
Thank you for saying it like that, Dennis. I tried not to say it like that, but you did it very well.
So the thought is that we had HR's input somewhere along the way.
That was, I think, the hope of the HR, some of the HR community. I think it's for the employee assembly to figure out how can that either be brought into the whole process in some fashion that doesn't completely derail the notion that it's an employee assembly generated award. So I think there's some issues there. But
I believe it might have been discussed that we had talked about requiring that one of the letters of support come from the supervisor. I think it's suggested now.
Yeah.
And if you know, and again, this hasn't been decided, but I recollect discussing that, and then that would hopefully get to if there are some other performance issues out there that aren't broadly aware for good reason, then it might be an opportunity to have that discussion.
I think, Peg, it was a situation where the supervisor had endorsed this individual.
Ah, well,
if I remember correctly,
it was.
You're talking about an extraordinary situation. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, or
it's hard to say.
No,
I don't promise that it's extraordinary.
Well, Joe, food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for SREC? You mentioned the supervisory award. Is that
that hasn't been brought up?
Okay, that was one of the things
we're
we talked
with
about.
This right now.
Actually, with Jim Sheridan, it was one of the goal things that we talked about. All right, Communications Committee,
Hazel. We had a meeting last week, and the PowerPoint presentation was passed around. Dennis was present at the meeting, and our Mr. Editor did some changes for us. I'm waiting for him to send it back to me to make sure that all my notes were correct. The timeline for Mary and how it'll be run and stuff has been complete. I hope at the next meeting to bring everything so we can pass around so everybody can take a look at it. Give us back some feedback. Did you get anything, Peter?
No, I just want to mention that at the HR committee meeting this morning, Mary did a really good job of not making an announcement about the leadership luncheon. And, you know, she kind of explains why we're doing it, and hopefully that'll spread a lot of awareness about leadership luncheons, and more people will pay attention to them when they do hear about them.
Great. Also, on Saturday is the employee celebration. EA will have a table, and we need people to help man the table, ask, answer questions, and that type of information.
Okay, so are you asking for people to
yes,
help staff that at times?
The meal's 5:30 to 7:30.
Yes.
So when would you like people there?
Well, the table's going to be set up.
8:10 in the afternoon, 5:30.
Yeah.
If you want to get over.
I would say from 5 o'clock till at least 6:30.
Okay.
Employee celebration.
Yes.
Where's that at? Ramen room?
Mm-hmm.
Raymond. And we sold 1,800 tickets.
Yeah.
It's the most we've ever sold for America.
1,800
from 5:30. We can just show up.
Oh, okay. Just maybe coordinate who's going to be away.
Just show up.
You might want to coordinate who's going to do what time.
Because you don't want four people there and then nobody there. Mm-hmm. So I'll send out
Well, do you want to do that and send out a little bracket, maybe half hour brackets or something that people can sign up for one or two? How's that sound, Donovan?
Just one comment. It seems to me with 1,800 people attending this, it would be a great opportunity to advertise the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
So to have something there that somehow adds some zing to the election process would be a great opportunity for me.
Dunk, Donovan.
She's been here too long.
Dennis.
So is the EA going to be helping serve the food as well?
Volunteers are going to be helping.
But I mean,
whether the EA or not.
But it's not, we're not asking specifically for EA reps to be there serving like we have in the past.
This has been out and about. If you haven't volunteered, All right,
so Hazel, here's your last bit.
There's room for volunteers.
So give us the times again.
5 to 6:30.
5 to 6:30. On Saturday.
Like a ramen room.
February 10th.
Okay.
I'll send out a little time slot thing and you can email who wants to do what times, etc. And thank you.
Okay. Anything else from Hong
Kong?
I'm sorry. When did you say we would have a chance to look at the PowerPoint?
Hopefully by the next meeting.
Okay.
Good times.
Alrighty, great. Finance, yeah, anything? Just that we don't have any money?
We don't.
Okay.
No, we do. We do. Peggy helps us out.
But you've already kind of in theory spent most of it, so you're right, you don't have a lot of money. I haven't run the most recent report, but
we
have about
a, take us away.
We've got about $1,000.
I haven't looked at it.
Just about a
grade.
Did you look at it?
Yep.
Well, it's looking like a
gumball machine. Now, that's from Peggy. What about Mary?
We've actually not done that yet.
No, we need to write her a letter.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, Peggy has been really generous.
She has.
So
actually, it's Tommy's money. So.
All right.
we'll thank him for it.
I just have temporary control over it. If he'll find me.
Well, you have it.
Give it to us. Yes.
All right.
So we'll work on this.
Yeah, we need to
grab that. I lost sight of that.
Me too. All right. Emergency grant fund, anything?
I talked to Deb this morning and we started our meeting and she just said there's nothing really to
do
right now.
Yeah, I think there weren't any requests.
No.
For
as soon as there's a request, we'll get back to that and then we'll start up the auction when we need to start up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's never too early to try to get items for the auction.
That's a good point. When is the auction usually held?
October?
Celebration week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Celebration week. Yeah. October.
On
a Friday.
It's never too early to plan an emergency.
No.
That's bad.
Okay. Let's see. Education committee. Nothing really going on there. I think I shared with you all the correspondence that we got from the Empire State College folks. They were really happy and excited that they met with folks in HR and team up with the PT3 regular sessions that they have for people who are interested. So that's a teaming effort that is now going to happen thanks to the education. They, of course, will be at our seed event. We're excited about that. So a lot more stuff to come from Empire State College. The other thing that I've been thinking about since we were talking about resolutions was to put, you all know this is a pet peeve of mine. I mean, it's pretty obvious. The reimbursement rate for staff members who take classes, not at Cornell, but off campus, is really minuscule. So I'm going to write a resolution so that we can look at that benefit. I think that it needs to.
Question for you, and this might help you in your quest for greater funding there. Is Cornell more generous to the children of employees in terms of their higher educational aspirations than they are to the employees themselves?
No, you know, I've done a little bit of research, and actually our peers, if we look at the Ivy peers, are more generous on both accounts. The education, if staff members were to take classes on campus, they're free and they don't have any tax implications, which that's not the case here. We have tax implications. The tuition rate for children is greater. If they take, on an average, I would say Harvard, I think they do like 80%. They're the biggest one. But as a general rule, it's 50%, which ours are too, but it's also 50% of Cornell tuition for those taking classes off campus. So if a kid goes to a different college, it's still 50% of the tuition of that institution.
But that's what I'm saying. It sounds like the children of employees get a better deal, a better cut on the tuition than the employee, him or herself, does when they take classes off campus.
No, for our peers, it's the same.
I'm not talking about peers. I'm talking within Cornell.
Cornell is 30%. So my son goes to a different school. He gets 30%.
And so when you take a course, do you get 30% off?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm
trying to get across. That it sounds like the way the benefit program is set up, it's more generous to favor children rather than favoring the employee itself.
Right.
So if it favors children, then that means single folks.
Right.
Who's doing some benefits looking into that, single folks are being disenfranchised.
Right. Yeah.
Plus,
from their educational plan.
Plus, staff, if they go, they get 70% of TC3's tuition rate, make it that amount to apply to tuition, which is TC3's rate now, but it's like $70, $80. That's all you would get to apply to another school's tuition.
If you weren't going to TC3, if you went to your college,
you would only get there $90.
Right. So no, yeah. I'll be candid with you. The class that I'm taking this semester is a 6-credit class in the MBA program. It's $3,800. I got my reimbursement was $369.
Less than 10%.
Yes, less than 10%.
So not too quick.
No.
I thought you were allowed up to $5,200 for the year. That's non-taxable.
I would never. If you can only take a certain number of credit hours.
Right. And then the other thing is, this is a 6-credit class, and Cornell will only reimburse you up to 4 credits. So.
And it's grad level, too,
right.
So that makes another.
Yeah, so basically, it didn't even pay for my books.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even pay for my books.
Sounds like you have an issue there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
we need to talk.
Right. So that's why I feel pretty. It's a personal thing for me, but
mm-hmm.
I just think that. If we're talking about sustainability of our workforce and promoting people from within and all that kind of great stuff, well, let's let them go to school if they want to go to
mm-hmm.
school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, a lot of people would rather do online because you can pick when you do your studies, when you do your exam papers, et cetera.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. So.
It's too bad Cornell doesn't have more online.
It is too bad.
Because we have, we can only offer them during the summer and winter sessions.
But I think, I don't know if there's any offer during the academic year.
There are, Cornell doesn't offer any, let me think how this goes now. I think it's 4-credit classes. You know, the non-credit credit classes are available through eCornell. You can get continuing ed credits.
Continuing ed.
But they're not.
They're ed credits.
But they're not academic credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're mostly like HR.
Yeah, there was workshops and things that you can get the continuing ed credits for. So that's it for me then. IOC?
Okay, well, we're going to run out of time, but I'll be real quick. Just 3 quick things. Master plan, today is the open forum in Willard Street Hall, and I don't remember the time slot.
11 to 3.
So it's almost over, so if you want to go today. And then tomorrow at the Hilton Hotel from 4 to 6.
4 to 8?
4 to 8.
Okay, all right, that's even better. So it would be great if you all find time to go in and just, you know, say your part and participate and see Mina and some of the other folks and bring up any questions that you have. Elections. We have a calendar set now about when things are due and when different publications will be out. There'll be a staff-friendly version of this, I think, on the website, but all of you will get one so you know what's going on. The article in paw print is done. It'll be available tomorrow announcing the opening of the elections, and packets will be available on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And the packets include your petitions and the rules and all that. Out of our group here, there are 7 of us with positions that are open. And so far I've heard from 4. So I got 3 people to let me know, you know, if you're going to be running or not. And it's important that you let me know as soon as possible. And on that note, whether you're running or not, it would be great if we did what we talked about earlier in the last semester, and that getting out and trying to find people that are interested. There will be calls that will be placed at various, you know, administrative levels throughout the university to try to encourage more people to run. And then this new idea, I think we thought about that about at the dinner on Saturday. That would be a great thing. So I'll talk with Dennis about what we can do with that. IOC will meet in full. And Peter, I'd like you to be there if you could too sometime next week to discuss some of the other strategies. In terms of getting people. No, yes, it'll be either Tuesday or Wednesday, so somewhere on the campus.
Okay, great.
And then number 3, and I have to ask the chair if we can conduct some official business during the committee report, has to do with filling our vacant seat. We have a resolution that was constructed. Carrie Howell has applied, and we have a resolution. So if the please of the chair, I'd like to ask Carrie to step outside for a moment while we have a quick discussion.
Sorry. I have to wait in the hall.
That's all right. I'll have something to do out there.
Okay, so her background statement was sent out last semester and also recently, and I guess it would be appropriate to hear if there's any last-minute concerns or whatever about Carrie filling the vacant employee assembly seat.
So let's just then kind of go back to
her. Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I have had the opportunity to work with Carrie through the wellness group, and I have never seen a more dedicated, articulate, involved, engaged individual, and I think she would be a phenomenal asset to this group.
So I'd like to make a motion that the EA approve the resolution to appoint Carrie Howell.
Oh, okay.
Second. All right, any further discussion?
There is a resolution.
All right, all those in favor?
So if the assembly's office would make up a nice little card and also get and also congratulations.
Yay. And then, it's a really tough choice.
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
Yeah, so now you get one of these little name things and
you have to volunteer.
Sure. Symbolic move.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it.
Great. And then the assembly's office will get you, you know, your copy of material that you'll need, the charter and all that, a notebook and your card and all that. So.
Okay.
Okay. And you serve until 2008, so you don't have to do anything.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for IFC.
All right. Executive committee, the meeting that we had today, we basically just talked about the teacher's course conduct and what our position on that. So, approval of minutes. Did everybody get a copy of the minutes? Amy sent them out electronically. And it's from November 15th.
I've gotten those like twice before.
Have you?
Yeah,
November
I didn't know.
15th?
I'm positive. I'll look at my old emails, but I keep seeing it. Unless something's bouncing. And that could possibly be.
I sent it yesterday for the first time.
Okay.
It should be November 1st and November 15th.
November 1st, I'm right.
Okay.
All right, so there are two sets of minutes that we're approving?
Mm-hmm. No, just
one.
Okay,
good. You said November 1st. Did I not read you right?
That Janice maybe started November 1st instead of...
Yeah, I'll look.
Okay. So,
I make a motion we accept the minutes as submitted.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
All right, any further discussion?
Very good minutes, very good.
All right. Those in favor of approving the minutes of November 15th? Okay. We have like 3 minutes for a once around. Who's got stuff to say? Janice usually does.
I do.
I'm speechless. You don't have anything to say at the moment.
You want anything to say?
We'll get it.
Yes, believe it. Wow,
Ellie. Just two really quick things. One, just to let you know, that was our first formal resolution set in WWE. Not ever, but a certain one. So that's a note in history, a footnote in the history. And number two is I wanted to ask Tori, you're kind of our representative and you're here. We talked about the cross report and all that. What do you need from us to help you do that?
Well, I guess you guys know the issues. We talk about the issues. Mm-hmm. If we're going to write a resolution, it'd be good to know what you guys are thinking towards the resolution, how you think that we can solve these issues and what we can start for the set. Huh?
We just agree with everything.
So you're looking for some additional commentary because I have a feeling like we didn't give you enough to work with, and I mean it's complicated in a lot of ways. I mean when I read through, I think, well, does some of this really apply or not? Mm-hmm. You know, it's.
I agree, and I think we also have to make the decision, like President Scorton said this morning, does this really apply to staff, and do we want to take that stand?
Yeah.
Do we even want to?
Maybe the standard is that we yank ourselves from it, you know, and just.
Yeah. I mean, we've already got processes in place to deal with poor behavior or misuse of relationships with other people, bad performance, etc. So I'm not sure that we should be as held to the same standards in the campus code.
I kind of go into what Mary said, too. You know, we have some procedures in place, and while they can be fine-tuned, maybe a press report isn't the way to get at that.
Well, I guess one of the issues is if you are violated by the faculty or by a student.
If you're a victim.
If you're a victim, then where are you going to fall if you're not involved in it?
Sorry.
So, in one way or another.
But there is a process.
I have a little concern with faculty policing faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do too.
There's a lot of things that can happen in this situation.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of issues, and I guess we're going to funnel them towards you and then get some feedback.
Maybe we can make like an ad hoc commission where we actually get together and sit down and write the resolution, or at least start a substantial portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we kind of just talk about it and try to do the email thing to slow down, maybe just sit down before we launch to draft something at a table.
So, Troy, do you want to maybe set up a meeting and kind of make that discussion? Just invite everybody who can ever come. That would be the ad hoc committee. I think it would be like an hour-long discussion kind of thing is what I envision.
Okay.
So a very short-lived ad hoc committee.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, you know, just from hearing what I said, that this is this is going to be really important for us, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. whatever we put on the table in front of them truly represent what we're really thinking, you know, and maybe some new things that maybe Mary didn't think of, you mm-hmm. know, and that would, I think, kind of nail that one. And I just don't feel it's right to put that all on your shoulders, you know, just you do it, you know. I think we're going to have to send, like, some of the issues that have been brought up.
So can we ask that you set up a meeting in the next week?
Sure.
So that we can have a draft to look at maybe at our next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Which is 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Good?
Okay.
Great. Okay. Anything else? Oh, Dennis.
I do a quick observation that it's historic that this group has met with this president twice in a period of less than a week. Meeting with him on Friday. And participating there and having good FaceTime with him and interactions, and then meeting with him again on the following Wednesday, and at least an hour each time. I don't cease to be amazed by this. I just think it's such a good omen and such a good opportunity for you all to do your resolutions. He's looking for a resolution. He's looking for your input. Do it your highest and best effort on this so that he sees that this is a well thought out group who he can rely on for this type of information. You didn't see him asking the expanded group for this kind of a resolution.
Yeah.
He looks to this group for these kinds of things. So, you know, get him what he wants, and then he'll come back to you and look to this group for his direction and guidance.
Okay. Thank you.
Bravo.
I feel like saying amen.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.